For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruits. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what grows in the self of your eyes or gather the grapes of your vineyard. It shall be a seventh year of solemn rest. Sabbath of the land shall provide food for you, for yourselves, and for your male and female slaves, and for your hired servant, and the sojourner who lives with you, and for your cattle, and for the wild animals that are in your land. All its yield shall be for food. You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years. So at the time of the 7 weeks of years, shall give you 49 years. And you shall sound a loud trumpet. On the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, when each of you shall return to his property, and each of you shall return to his clan. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from your undressed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce of the field. This is the word of the Lord.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
If you are sitting in the back and would rather like to sit in the front, some of you, please feel free to come forward. If you have a seat next to you that's free, you may raise your hand to help others find a spot in front, if you would like to. Am I still audible? Okay. If you were not here last week, I'd like to bring your attention to the table outside with a handout which speaks about new habits, why resolutions don't last, and why we need habits. And we also have put out some Bible reading plans. If you were to spend time reading God's Word in an orderly way, I encourage you to pick one of the handouts there or use a plan that you have. Also, tonight there will be no prayer meeting and no youth group. We were planning to resume that today, but we decided to cancel for tonight because we do not know when power will be back. But we thank God that the power of the Holy Spirit does not come from Puget Sound energy. It comes from the Father and from the Son. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. A dear Father of eternal rest, who neither sleeps nor slumbers, Lord, we draw close to you to hear your voice, that still small voice that calmed the storms of the sea. Would you, Lord, calm the storms in our hearts? Would you speak to us kindly and speak peace into our souls, that we may know that you are God, that we may be still. Lord, give us a repose, a refuge, and free us from the things that nag us right now, that we may dwell on your word with an open and a yielded spirit by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, who laid down his life for our sake. His name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a little bit ironic that I'm speaking on the topic of rest when in this past week I have not had much rest myself. But maybe it's fitting that we do not have power right now, so that we have to rest from certain things. This is the first Lord's Day of the year. Last Monday, I got a call from Eric saying, you'll have to preach again. And I started thinking, what should I preach on? And I thought, I want to continue on the theme of renewal, but speak on the topic of rest, which is an important part of our renewal. By the way, if my voice drops, please raise your hand. I'll raise my voice. Spiritual renewal means consecrating ourselves anew to the Lord. It is responding to Joshua's call when he said, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Remember, these words were not spoken to the nations surrounding Israel, but these words were spoken to Israel, the people of God, who knew the Lord and who had seen his mighty works. But the question was, will they serve the Lord? Will they obey him? Or will they continue to yoke themselves to the idols like the nations surrounding them? So within the framework of renewal, speaking of rest, rest being a significant piece of our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we rest on him for our salvation. We rest from working for our salvation. Here in the 21st century America, particularly in the Puget Sound area, which is somewhat of a mecca of technology, we have the slickest devices, some of which have to be powered down right now. We have watches, laptops, cell phones. We have more Wi-Fi spots than faucets in certain countries of Africa. We have drive-thrus for everything from food to medicine. We bleed caffeine if we are cut because our veins are full of caffeine. Our food is grown in freezers and harvested in microwaves. Not to mention our fast cars and 70 miles per hour freeways. Amazon Prime is not fast enough for us. We are looking for 2-hour drone delivery. Aren't we? You might think with all these machines and means, we would have all the time in the world to rest. We would have all the time to relax and even maybe slack off. Yet, the most common answer to the question, usually I ask people when I see them, "How are you?" Or maybe, "How was your week?" What's the most common answer? Busy. Oh, it was a crazy week. Regardless, whatever time of the year. With all the technologies and high-speed amenities, we are still a restless people. We are hurried, worried, scurried, and scattered. We can barely keep our commitments. We can scarcely have time for one another. And we rarely do have time to do our devotions for even a couple of hours a day. What on earth is wrong with us? I think it just goes to show that nothing really has advanced for us as a race, as a mankind. The fundamental problem of mankind remains still the same. We are chained to our toys and our idols. We are running from God and we are hiding from one another. Speaking of God coming down to dwell with us, the theme of Emmanuel, which we talked about during Christmas. Last time I spoke of Zacchaeus. This time what comes to my mind is Mary and Martha. Now imagine with me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Ancient of Days, is in your living room. Close your eyes and imagine Jesus Christ sitting in your living room. Whatever comes out of his mouth is, by virtue of who he is, the Word of God. Yet, Martha is found busy and distracted, completely oblivious of what she is missing out on. And the Lord says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her." We are a generation of Marthas. No offense to Martha Behrens or Martha Larson. But why is that? How is this related to renewal? And does it reflect anything about our relationship with our Lord? These are some of the questions I want to address today. Again, my aim is not to lay on you new yokes, human yokes, God forbid. But my aim really is to help you see the yokes that you are yoked to and help you be unyoked and be yoked to Christ, because he promised that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I could have selected from more than a dozen passages from Scripture that address this topic, some of which I will reference today, make a passing reference. But I chose this passage from Leviticus 25, the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee, in which God commands Israel to rest the land once in 7 years. Once in 50 years is a Sabbath of Sabbaths for the land and for the people. We see God's merciful concern even for the land that he had once cursed in Genesis 3. How much more do you think he loves us, who are his beloved children, made out of the ground and yet made in his image? I've called my sermon today, The Holy Habit of Resting. Yes. Holiness includes resting. The whole book of Leviticus is about, what's the one word to describe the book of Leviticus? Holiness. And from there we see God commands even the land to be rested. If we are to be holy, as God is holy, we are to rest, even as God rests. I want to share with us today three aspects of resting. Firstly, the necessity of rest. If it's not already obvious, the necessity of rest, not just why we need it, but why we cannot live without it. Secondly, the pattern of rest. How are we to rest? Not an easy question to answer. I rest on Mondays, and often I find myself on Mondays, my heart is caught up with the work that I'm doing, and I struggle to find ways of resting. Pattern of rest, that second. And thirdly, the significance of rest. Does rest signify something? Does it point to something? Does it mean something more than what it is in a physical sense to us? So let's look at them one by one. The necessity of rest first. A rest is a fundamental and inevitable requirement of all creation. Rest is not a luxury. It is not just a comfort for a few elite people, but man to beast, to equipment, to even the land must rest. Why is that? I think of two main reasons. Firstly, we need rest naturally, a natural reason. God made all things to naturally need rest. It is God alone who never sleeps nor slumbers, but all things that he created, he hardwired them to rest regularly and not go on continuously or unceasingly without a break. Even our latest iPhones and Macs need to be turned down, turned off, restarted once in a while. Our cars and power tools cannot go on forever without heating up and giving up on us. The strongest of horses and bulls cannot work without a break. In today's passage, God says in verse 2, when you come into the land that I give you, the holy land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. The land is spoken of as though she is a person. Now, unlike in English, in the Hebrew language, every noun has a gender. A grammatical gender, and the land has a feminine gender. And God says, as though the land was as though a woman, God says, the holy land must observe a Sabbath. The word Sabbath itself means rest. He says, for 6 years you shall sow your field, but, verse 4, in the seventh year it shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land. When it says the Sabbath of solemn rest, it actually says it should be a Sabbath for the land, which is the Hebrew way of saying it should be a complete and absolute rest for the land. But the land cannot rest unless the people are obedient. Any farmer worth his salt, I actually emailed John Bilbrod to find out, any farmer worth his salt knows this principle and must practice it to some degree. They either do crop rotation or they leave it fallow, or it will get depleted uniformly. The land needs Sabbath. As for us humans, we are all too familiar with exhaustion, fatigue, and weariness. One of the top reasons people today see a doctor is chronic tiredness. And the doctors, that's probably the hardest patients that they get, for they are clueless how to help a workaholic population except for saying, take a break. Take a break. We are successful, we are wealthy, we are famous, but we are living on the edge of a burnout. Perhaps you have experienced a burnout, a breakdown, a complete falling apart of your life in pursuit of some idol that is driving you too hard. I know I have. In the months prior to my conversion, it was a burnout that brought me to Christ. And you might say, I have so many different spins on my conversion. But those are all true. I was in graduate school, and all that I did at that time was study and work and get the minimum necessary sleep when forced to. I was dysfunctional in every imaginable way. And from a deep pit of hopelessness and restlessness, Christ rescued me. I joke and say, but it's only half a joke, the only way to survive graduate school was to become a Christian. I said, I'm never going to graduate school again, and 3 years later, I was in seminary. I'll tell you something about it in just a moment. Rest is most fundamentally a natural need of every creature. No one gets to break this rule. No one. Secondly, the necessity of rest arises for a supernatural reason. The need for rest is not just a creation ordinance, it's not just hardwired in us, but it is a command of God. The command to rest appears as the fourth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. God commanded Israel to keep the Sabbath holy, to work 6 days and rest the seventh day. Not just Israel, but their servants, the foreigners among them, and even their livestock. Why? The reason given is that because God worked 6 days in creation and rested on the seventh day from the work of creation. And so the seventh day he blessed and called it holy. So being made in his image, we are commanded to rest. Now think for a moment, why should the command to rest be a command? Why should it be in the Ten Commandments? It sounds so counterintuitive. Do you think I have to command you to take a holiday? Tomorrow is Monday. Do I have to command you to take the day off tomorrow? If I was your boss, and I don't have to command you, I'll be worried you'll show up or not. Well, the Israelites were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt, from where God rescued them. They had no days off, and they had no human rights. They had no vacations. They had no breaks. It was just hard labor 24/7 as far as they could do it. And so the people had become workaholics. And they needed this command given by God, not to burden them, but to release them, to free them. Well, so much for the necessity of rest. It is not only natural, but it is supernatural. Now the big question is, how then shall we rest? How then shall we rest? This brings me to my second point, the pattern of rest. Now we are a culture that is obsessed with activity and productivity. Our view of rest is more like our view of the emergency room of the hospital. After we crash and burn, we come to our senses on the way to the ER. We are forced to bow to the laws of nature. And so we rest, but not regularly, not religiously, but sporadically, haphazardly. It seems to me that in corporate and capitalist America, we are tempted to think that resting is a waste of time. It is a waste to rest. I remember when I was in graduate school, before my conversion, meeting a PhD student who was not a believer, who had no idea of the Bible, but this is what he had come to the conclusion that one day a week, he said, he must force himself to rest. Just pick a day and rest one day. That was his counsel to me. And he had no knowledge of the Bible, but had naturally discovered God's holy order. God's word makes plain the principle that should govern our rest. Our rest is not meant to be patchy. It's not meant to be unpredictable. But it's meant to be periodic. It's meant to be patterned. We need healthy rhythms and routines of rest. This is exactly related to the principle of renewal I shared last time. The key word here is again habit. Habit, not just a flash in the pan approach, not an ER approach to help, to rest, but a habit. And God, in His wisdom and His mercy, has instituted for His people what I call concentric circles of rest. There is daily rest, there is weekly rest, there is annual rest, there is even a 7-yearly rest. And then if that's not enough, God also has a semi-centennial, which means once in 50-year rest. So let's quickly look at these concentric circles of rest. Firstly, we have daily rest. At night, when the sun goes down, our bodies are meant to go down as well. And if you think this is a social construct, just ask a night shift employee working at a call center in India serving American clients. He will tell you that not just his sleep, but his whole life is a mess. Our bodies are wired to sleep at night. If you don't believe me, just ask a doctor, or a sleep doctor will tell you everything about every enzyme and everything that goes in our body to help it to rest. The second concentric circle is weekly rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord. Do we really believe it? Many Christians, many, many Christians, and probably even several of you, don't really believe this. You have been made to believe by pop evangelicalism that it does not, somehow the Sabbath law does not hold for us, that somehow Jesus has abrogated, he has abolished this law for us. But nothing, nothing, brothers and sisters, nothing can be further from the truth. The Sabbath law, as I just mentioned, is part of the Ten Commandments. Is any of the Ten Commandments abolished or relaxed by Jesus? Tell me. Is any of the Ten Commandments relaxed? Why then would you pick out this law and relax it? It is to your own disadvantage do you disobey this law. I was myself one who believed that somehow Sabbath has been fulfilled by Jesus. But then when I was preparing for ordination exams with this denomination, I had to reconsider this matter. And if I had not come to this conclusion, I was prepared to not get ordained with this denomination. But the principle of Sabbath, the command of Sabbath, is a covenant command. It has not been abolished. Rather, we now have the Sabbath on the first day of the week, marking the new creation that Jesus has ushered, because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. We observe the Sabbath on Sunday. But let's go on to the third concentric circle. God commands annual rests. If you peek a couple chapters before, Leviticus 23, it lists all the feasts, annual feasts in the life of Israel. These were annual festivals to be observed by the entire nation. No work was to be done. And what were they to do? They were to gather together as a holy assembly, a holy convocation. Some of these were multi-day festivals. For example, the Passover, which was an 8-day feast commemorating Exodus from Egypt. Or the Feast of Booths, another 8-day festival in which people lived in tents instead of their houses to commemorate their time in the wilderness. The first and the last day was a day of rest. And some of these were one-day feasts, the Feast of Weeks or the Day of Atonement. All these annual feasts had one purpose. They were meant to impress upon Israel their relationship with God, for them to rest from their weekly labors and gather together to orient themselves to God, who was the center of all of life. Annual rests. And then we come to today's passage, the fourth concentric circle. 6 years the land was to be sowed and harvested, but the seventh year was to be a complete rest. The Lord says, "You shall neither sow nor reap the fields, nor shall you prune from the vines. Whatever grows on its own, let it grow." But it was not meant to be systematically harvested. But whatever grows is available for everyone and anyone, not for the owner of the land, but anyone. You could eat it, your neighbor could eat it, a foreigner could eat it, your livestock could eat it, even a beast, a wild beast could eat it. It is not for the owner, it belongs to the Lord. Whatever grows, let it grow, let anyone eat, without doing agricultural activity. And then we see, in God's grace, there is a fifth concentric circle. If you were living in Israel at the time, you get to experience the year of Jubilee, which is once in 50 years, after counting off 7 years of seven weeks of years, that's 49 years. 50th year was a Sabbath of Sabbaths. It's called the year of Jubilee. If you were living in Israel at the time, you get to experience the year of Jubilee at the most twice, but most of the time once. Once in a lifetime, year of Jubilee. Again, the 50th year is holy to the Lord, and the land must not be cultivated. Everybody was to return to their homeland and to their own clans. It was a grand year of grace. Do you see, my friends, the mercy and the wisdom of God in instituting these patterns of rest? He knows our frame. He knows how much we can carry. Well, you might say, okay, so I'm a 21st century sophisticated Christian living in advanced, technologically progressive America. How, as individuals, as families, as churches, can we rest? How do we practice this? Well, for one, if it's not already clear, when God says rest, he does not mean be lazy. He doesn't mean be irresponsible or do not do the due diligence. Well, quite the contrary. He says be disciplined about work and rest. Because after the fall, neither work nor rest come to us naturally in a healthy manner in our fallen condition. And again, like last week, we have to grow and build healthy habits of work and rest. We all need to develop sustainable rhythms and routines of work and rest according to the season of life that we are in and the nature of vocations that we are in. For instance, if you are very young or if you are very old or if you're pregnant, you need more rest. If you're a fireman or a nurse, your rest will look different from everybody else. But in general, for the vast majority of us, It's not that complicated. We just make it complicated. Don't want to be a mother, but I'll say, sleep at night. Sleep at night. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Whoever said that was not a fool. Take a full day off from work every week. One day a week, preferably Sunday, unless it is impossible. Commit to a church and be in worship every week. This is an absolute must. Rest does not mean you lie in your beds and stare at the ceiling. We are meant to gather together in holy worship. If you are not a Christian and you are not in church every week, I will not hesitate to say that there is a problem with you and not with the church. Or maybe, should I dare say, maybe you are not a Christian at all. You see, we have to take the Sabbath day very seriously to worship and rest. In a lawless world like ours, trust me, legalism is not our biggest problem. Legalism means trusting in our own keeping of the law. But if we keep the law because we trust in the Lord and in His wisdom, it is not legalism. It is wisdom. Keep the Sabbath holy and cease from your work. If you can avoid, don't go to Trader Joe's or Fred Meyer on Sunday. Put away your cell phones. Don't check your emails or Facebook. Maybe pray an extra hour on Sunday. Maybe show up for the prayer meeting in the evening. Go ahead, relax yourself on the Sabbath. Take a nap. Take a walk. Hang out with friends. Today, Sherry and Don have they're hosting here a fellowship lunch for everyone. Melissa and a lot of people have worked hard, even though there is no power. Maybe you have all kinds of plans for after worship. Come hang out with us. Limited forms of restful pleasure are okay on Sabbath, provided they do not interfere with its main purpose, to rest and worship. When I began seminary, it was in the summer, and it just was the case that I had to start with what many students called suicide Greek, a horrible term for a class. It was not the official course title. It was called suicide Greek because in 6 weeks you learn 1 year's worth of Greek. That was my first class. Every day you have a test, and every week you have a unit test. And I vowed to myself, I will take a day off every week. And it was Saturday for me. I would go to church on Sunday, and then after a nap, I will start studying. But Saturday was my day off. I'll just leave the campus and go somewhere. And I'm telling this not to boast that I got an A, not to boast, but I'm sharing this as a testimony that God's law works. It works. It worked for me. I have no reason to believe it doesn't work for you or for anyone. The law of God we ignore under the pretext of avoiding legalism are actually for our own good and our own benefit. Remember the burning bush that Moses saw? The bush was burning, but was not burnt. The fire of the Holy Spirit does not burn us. It is the strange fire of our idols that burn us, and we are burnt out. And the big reason we are burnt out is simply this: we are doing too much. We are doing too much. Our schedules are packed like a 2-pound burger, 5 layers. Or a suitcase that you're trying to close in the airport, but it doesn't close. It's too much. Just too much in it. We are overly ambitious. even idolatrously so. And we bite off way more than we can chew. And then we wonder, why am I tired all the time? Why don't I pray? Why do I feel lonely? Because you are brutally yoked. You are collapsing under the weight of the yoke that you have chosen for yourself. And on those days, Satan can leave you alone because you are already dulled and useless for God. Brothers and sisters, yield to God's word. He knows your feeble frame. He knows how much you can carry. Let him lighten your load. Prayerfully evaluate your lifestyles, your schedules, your routines. Remove, prune off what needs to go. Order your lives. Let there be breathing room. Let there be breathing room, or you will choke. Let me make one more note about patterns of rest, the need for annual and semi-annual rest. Most of you have vacations from your employers. Thank God for that. I don't think I have to tell you to go on a vacation or go on a retreat. Sometimes that's the only way to get away from our schedules and get complete rest. Even Jesus took his disciples on a retreat. At least he tried. But let me say this. If your weekly patterns of rest are messed up, no amount of retreats or vacations are going to fix you. They cannot. If you do not have sustainable rhythms of life, retreats cannot put you together again. And when you do go on retreats and vacations, again, don't become idolatrous. Choose wisely where to go and be intentional about what you do there. We all know the experience of coming back from a vacation and needing a vacation from that vacation because we are again tired. I remember last year, just a year ago, we just happened to stumble upon this. My wife and I, we were in between jobs while we were still here because we were waiting for a visa. And so one of our friends offered their cottage in the Olympic Peninsula, and we just went there, packed 3 days worth of food and clothes and just spent 3 days there. And, you know, we are waiting for a visa. What can we do? We prayed and we read scripture. And then we realized, wow, that's not a bad thing to do every year. So we are going to do that again this year starting. We'll leave tomorrow. We'll go to Leavenworth. I'm gone for 3 days. Last week was very tiring. So a new tradition began, I hope, in our family. And then finally, for some of us, there is a need for a sabbatical, especially if you're in ministry or teaching. Pastor Eric took a sabbatical last year. Our denomination, the PCA, wisely gives its ministers 3 months of off, paid off every 7 years. I think they're being just wise in following the grain of Scripture and of nature. We've seen so far, firstly, the absolute necessity of rest for natural and supernatural reasons. Secondly, the pattern of rest, which is concentric circles of rest, daily, weekly, annually, and so on. And finally, my last point, significance of rest. What does rest signify? What does it mean? Does it point to anything? Well, if you read Scripture closely, it becomes quite plain very quickly that if restlessness is a sign of idolatry, if restlessness is a sign of slavery, then rest is a sign of freedom. It's a sign of liberty. The Lord commanded that in the year of Jubilee, the trumpet was to be sounded aloud in all the land on the Day of Atonement, 7th month, 10th day. What does that trumpet blast remind you of? Well, it harkens back to the Mount Sinai, where the Lord himself descended. For us in the New Testament, it points us forward to Jesus' coming, when Israel was freed from Egypt, and when Jesus will free his church from this fallen world. at the end of the age. The year of Jubilee was meant to be a rehearsal of a cosmic redemption that was and is to come. It is a time of Jubilee, jubilation, and victory. It is the grand year of grace. Property was to be returned to the original owner, and people were to return to their clans. And look with me at verse 10. It says, "And proclaim liberty throughout the land in all its inhabitants." Does that seem familiar to you in America? All the U.S. history majors. I was born again in Philadelphia. Can you think of where it is inscribed? Well, it is engraved on the Liberty Bell, which is now in Philadelphia, which during the Civil War era became an icon not only of the anti-slavery abolition movement, but also of the unity of this nation. It was understood that the Bible called for the freeing of slaves. Rest is a sign of freedom, but it is also a sign of faith. Jump down to verses 21 and 22 of Leviticus 25. The Lord says, this is what the Lord says, "I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years, a promise of a triple bumper crop, so that when you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating some of the old crop even until the ninth year when you sow again." Do you hear God's promise? Do you think it is easy to rest for a whole year on the seventh year? God says, "Do not worry about what you will eat," just like Jesus said. If you obey God's law, which is good for you, He will ensure you will not be hungry. He will ensure you will not be burnt out. To put it another way, it takes faith to rest. Faith in God and His promises. So that restlessness is ultimately a sign of faithlessness, and restfulness is ultimately a sign of faithfulness. Have you claimed the promise of rest yet? Have you claimed it for yourself? Or are you languishing under your yokes? Now, like last time, I'll ask again, did Israel ever practice the year of Sabbath? Did they ever practice the year of Jubilee? Well, the last chapter of 2 Chronicles gives us a very clear hint. It was at the time of when Judah was exiled into Babylon, Jerusalem was burnt and captured by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And it says in verse 20, he says, "He took into exile in Babylon," Nebuchadnezzar did, "those who had escaped from the sword, and they had become servants to him." They came out of Egypt and go back into slavery. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, now listen to this, "until the land enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. You see, Israel never kept the Sabbath year or the year of Jubilee and was eventually exiled from the promised land. And during Israel's exile, the Holy Land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest. For 70 years, every day was its Sabbath. Every year was. In other words, I'll put it this way. God will have His Sabbaths one way or another. Either you keep it or God will get it. If you keep the Sabbath, you will be blessed. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you will be burnt out or maybe even burnt. Choose this day whom you will serve, the Lord or your idols. The Lord of the Sabbath, He's called the Lord of the Sabbath because He has not yet abolished the Sabbath. Jesus Christ says, "Come to me Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is rest? What does he mean? It means salvation. Rest points to salvation. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It is learned. It's not automatic. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will certainly, definitely, surely find rest for your souls. He promises, he says, my yoke is easy. Do you believe that? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, a yoke looks a lot like the cross. On the cross, Jesus did the work that secured your eternal rest. On the cross, Jesus was not on one side so that you are on the other. He was on the center. He took the whole weight on him. He died. And think about this. He remained buried on which day? There was a whole day when he was buried. It was the Sabbath day. The day which we are meant to be united to the Lord, Jesus was apart from the Lord the entire Sabbath day. So that all the days of our life, even unto eternity, we may be united to the Lord. In Jesus Christ, the Sabbath day, the Sabbath year, and the year of Jubilee find their ultimate fulfillment. Jesus Christ is our rest. He is our Sabbath. He is our Jubilee. Let us pray. Dear Lord, well has your servant said, you have made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Grant us refuge, Lord. Forgive our wanderings after our idols. Free us from the yokes that are not of you. I pray, Lord, that you guide each one of us to examine our lives and cause us to reorder them as you would have us. Grant us wisdom, courage, and humility to do so, O Lord. Free us. We ask in the name of Jesus and for the sake of Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath and our Lord. Amen.